Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
And thanks for joining with us for our gathering right here at 10 a.m. Life Center. Hope you're enjoying either from the comfort of your living room or maybe you're out on a walk enjoying the sun today. Listen, thank you for being here. You know, as I was worshiping, I leaned over to Garrett and I just mentioned, man, my heart longs to be with the people of Life Center. And I know that right now, this is the way that we have to live this out. But I look forward to the day that we're all back together in a place, in one voice, worshiping God together. I'm looking forward to that. But just know there's hope for you today. In just a few minutes, we're going to bring to conclusion this series that we've been journeying through entitled The Holy Spirit Is. Today, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit is my source of power. The Holy Spirit has power for your life. But before we get there, listen, I recognize that so much of what normal life looks like has been flipped upside down. How many know that that's true right there? It's changed a little bit, but I'm so thankful. One thing does not change, and it's Jesus. In fact, Scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the hope that I cling to. And listen, even though the church doors are closed, I want to remind us as Life Center, we will never be closed as the church. Here's why. The church is people. And there's a few ways that I want to invite you as Life Center to engage this week in being the church. One of which, we're going to be collecting some food donations for our food bank, but also for those who are in need. And so if you have some non-perishables that you want to drop by the central offices as they're open today or open this week, we would love to be able to have you do that. And as well, this Friday morning, right here in the Life Center Central parking lot, we're going to have a mobile blood bank here, and we're asking that people be mobilized to help donate blood. Here's why. Because of the pandemic, the storage of blood and the operation of blood banks has been dramatically impacted. And so this is a very real practical way that we can make a difference. And so be looking for more information about that. And as well, listen, I know some who are watching today, it's been a hard week. You've watched the news, maybe you received some news about your job or what's going on in the world, and maybe you're facing fear, maybe panic, anxiety. I want to remind you, you can pick up the phone right now and call one of our prayer team members. We have some team members are available via phone right now. And so the team's going to put this phone number up. It's 253-756-5333. Once again, 253-756-5333. We would love to be able to pray with you, to remind you that you are not alone. And listen, I know that we have to kind of physically distance. That's the word, by the way, that I'm using. I'm not saying social distancing. I get the concept, but we are social creatures. We are social beings. And we need to physically distance, and we're going to practice that. In fact, even the friends that I have with me here today, we are physically distanced away from each other and your distance from one another. And so practicing that, yes, it is critical, but I want to encourage you, stay connected with people. And not only that, make sure in this season that you don't practice spiritual distancing. I think this is such an easy window for us to maybe kind of withdraw because we don't have the normal patterns of our life as Jesus followers as far as connecting physically in community. But I want to encourage you, don't spiritually distance yourself in this season. Amen? Come on, type amen right there from that keyboard. Type amen. Come on, say amen in that living room. Say amen. All right. I heard you. I heard you. So, hey, today I want us to look together to the book of Acts. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit is our source of power. Power. I love Jesus' words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And as we turn there, how many know somebody's final words are significant? Because these words that we're about to read together in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, they're the words that Jesus shares with his disciples right before he ascends into heaven. So at this point, he's lived, he's ministered, he's been crucified, he was buried, he's risen again to life, and now he's sharing some final instructions with his disciples. We find ourselves there, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Listen to these words. But you will receive power. Can you say power?
Power.
Oh, come on. One more time. Say power.
Power.
For the person who's in the kitchen right now and they're not watching, say it again. Say power.
Power.
All right, there we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What I love is Jesus, he reminds his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are going to receive power. But it's not just power for any old reason. Jesus says that there's a purpose to the power. Did you catch it? He said that the purpose of the power is that you are going to be equipped to be a witness. To be a witness. Now, my guess is you've recognized over these last number of days that we are all becoming witnesses. In fact, I've seen multiple posts in the last week or so where people are looking for a certain item. They heard that it's actually at this grocery store. And so they witness to it. They're like, all right, I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm going to tell you about it. And we're posting about it. You've been around that person who got that new type of vehicle. And it's the only thing that they talk about. And they're just convinced. It's the only vehicle that anybody should ever own or drive. What are they doing? They're becoming a witness. We experience this all the time. Somebody goes to a new restaurant. Not right now, but in a few weeks, we're going to get back there. They go to a new restaurant and they begin to talk about it. They are not just a casual witness. They become empowered. Why? Because of what they've experienced. What they've experienced. And I want you to think for a moment the sequence. Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit, it's actually to their benefit that he goes so that the Holy Spirit would come and take up residence in their lives. And then in Acts chapter 1, he says the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's actually going to empower you to be a witness. And then we read in Acts chapter 2, there's about 120 disciples of Jesus gathered together in an upper room. They're praying together. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in the hearts of these followers of Jesus. And here's what's amazing to me. Some of you remember Peter in the Gospels. For those of you who are maybe newer to scripture, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. And Peter was kind of the guy who would say things and sometimes stick his foot in his mouth. You know a friend like that? Maybe you are that friend, okay? Peter would sometimes just say things, and then there was other times that Peter kind of missed the opportunity. And so I find encouragement when I read about Peter, by the way. Because Peter wasn't perfect. Peter was a human, just like we all are. And yet, even in that moment, listen, there was a section of scripture where Peter, as Jesus is arrested before he's crucified, Peter is questioned by this teenage girl, and she says, you're one of Jesus' friends, aren't you? And in that moment, Peter denies it. He denies knowing Jesus. So the moment that Peter had an opportunity to be a witness, he denies knowing Jesus, but now fast forward the tape. Okay, Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. In the end of Acts chapter 2, guess who stands up? Guess who begins to preach? It's Peter.
Yes.
And that same Peter who denied knowing Jesus to this kind of teenage girl is now standing there and saying, listen, those of you who are asking about this, let me tell you what this is all about. It's about Jesus and the same salvation we've experienced, you can experience. And that day, scripture says that 3,000 people put their trust in Jesus. You can't tell me that the Holy Spirit doesn't empower us to be witnesses, if he can take somebody who was maybe scared to even admit to a teenage girl, and now he stands up and he boldly declares. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, we see that each day the Lord was continuing to add to the number of people who were being saved. And that's where we find ourselves. I want us to look to Acts chapter 3 today. Acts chapter 3, we see this continuation of what this looks like lived out as people are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Now, here's something important to note. This was a part of their everyday, ordinary life. Well, Tyler, how do you know that? Well, we read earlier in Acts chapter 2 that each day the disciples, they continued to go to the temple and they continued to pray. This was their common pattern of prayer. So they're not doing anything out of the ordinary. In fact, this is very ordinary for them. So they're on their way to the temple to pray. And as they approached the temple, a man who was lame from birth was being carried in. So this guy, from the time he was born, had never been able to walk, never been able to move himself around. He's being carried in. Each day, can you say each day? That's important. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you." Now, I want you to imagine, if that's where the story stopped, how depressing a story this would be. This guy, he's the only hope that he has is the generosity of people walking into the temple. That's his only hope. Maybe somebody will be generous. What he doesn't realize is that he was about to encounter the generosity of God. Because Peter says, "Listen, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple court with them. Think about this. The man had never been able to walk, and now he's walking, jumping, standing. When you really experience the grace and the generosity of God, you don't just kind of stand there and go, "Oh, that was nice." He is now, for the first time, standing on his feet and walking and jumping. And what happened? Peter didn't necessarily have what he was looking for, but Peter had what the man needed. And the boldness that moved Peter to actually engage in being a witness, it was through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, I want to remind us today, what our world needs right now is not a church that's been entertained by a service. What our world needs right now is a church that's been equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you may be watching today, and I'm glad that you're tuning in with us. And we want these online gatherings as we journey through the unknowns of this season. We want it to be life-giving and affirming. But at the end of the day, friends, we're not coming together just because there's nothing better to watch on YouTube. We're not coming together because you finally exhausted the library of Netflix. No, God has a bigger plan. He wants to equip and empower us through the reality of the Spirit to be the church, to be mobilized as the church. See, there's a few things that I want to draw to your attention about Acts chapter 3 and about the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to each and every one of us. The first thing is this, that there is power for everyday moments. Come on, can you say everyday moments? Everyday moments. For Peter and John, this was everyday ordinary. Nothing extravagant. I think sometimes we make the mistake of believing that God only wants to show up and we only need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for kind of these special, super spiritual moments, right? But if you notice, they didn't jump on an airplane. They didn't cross a border. This wasn't a special missions trip or kind of like a healing service. This was everyday ordinary. What does that mean for us practically? Listen, some of you parents who are watching right now, this week, not only did you work from home, all of a sudden you became the principal of your home, the vice principal of your home, the cafeteria worker of your home, the recess coordinator of your home. Come on, I know you're watching right now. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you for those moments. Everyday ordinary. Not only that, what about when you're out on a walk, you're getting some fresh air? The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to slow down and to notice what your neighborhood needs, what your neighbors need, what your family, what your friends need. The Holy Spirit gives us power, not just for extraordinary moments, but also for everyday ordinary moments. Everyday ordinary. The other thing that the Holy Spirit wants to give us power to do, He wants to give us power for open eyes. Can you say open eyes? He wants to help our eyes be open. Catch this. Listen, something opened Peter and John's eyes in a new way. Well, Tyler, how do you know that? Well, notice this was Peter and John's pattern. They did this every day. And watch this. This man had been lame from birth. And the scripture says in Acts chapter 3 that each day, he was being carried and laid beside the gate. And so if Peter and John are walking to the temple each day and this man's been laying there each day, it's safe to assume that whether it was one or six or 100 times, more than likely they had passed this man at some point. What made this moment different? What made this moment all of a sudden stop Peter and John? I'm convinced that because of the power of the Spirit dwelling in them, their eyes were open to see something new. They're seeing, yes, the need, but they're also seeing the person. Their eyes were opened up. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to give us power to have our eyes be open. Yes, they saw the need, but not just the need, they saw the person. Come on, can you say this prayer with me? No matter where you're at today, can you say this prayer with me? Say, God, open my eyes. Come on, say it one more time. Say, God, open my eyes. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit's going to empower us as Life Center to have our eyes open. And here's what's been weighing on my heart. I was reading some posts from some friends of mine this last week. They're Asian Americans, and in the midst of all of this crisis and epidemic, racism, once again, is rearing its demonic head. Let it not be so with us as followers of Jesus. Come on, say it with me. Say, God, open my eyes. God, open my eyes. For the practical needs in our city, in our community, God, open my eyes. For the people around us who are without hope, they're shut off, they're isolated. God, would you open my eyes? Come on, pray with me. God, open my eyes. What about the friends, the people in our city, in our community that we're not even aware? And they're not just listening to our words, friends. They're watching our actions and our deeds. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes. See, we don't know how many times Peter and John had maybe already walked by this man, but we do know this, something shifted in that moment. God, open our eyes. Let something shift inside of us. Here's the third power that I see at work in the lives of Peter and John that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to equip and empower us with. And it's a power to focus on what they had instead of focusing on what they lacked. A power to focus on what they had, not what they lacked. In moments like this, in moments of crisis, it's easy to kind of throw our hands up and say, I don't have what's necessary right now. And did you notice? Peter did not have what the man was looking for. Do you remember what the man was looking for? He was looking for money, right? He's looking for money, and Peter says, "Hey, look at me." And the man's like, and Peter's first words out of his mouth, "Go ahead and put that hand away," right? No, Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have," but he doesn't stop there. He says, "But what I have, I give you." He didn't focus on what he lacked. He focused on what he had. Can I tell you right now, if you have Jesus, you have something to offer. You have hope. You have love. You have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. So don't just focus on what you lack, friend. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you power to focus on what you have. If you have Jesus, you have something to give. Just the final thought that I see from Acts chapter 3 that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us power in, and it's the power to make Jesus known. It's the power to make him known. Talk about a moment right now in our world. Man, I'm praying, I'm believing that through this crisis, so many people are going to come to put their trust in Jesus because they place their hope in so many other things, and all of those things are crumbling around them, but there's one thing that will last the test of time, and it's Jesus. In Acts chapter 1:8, Jesus said to his disciples, "You're going to receive power to be my witness." What I love is Peter and John, they're walking towards the temple courts, and they see this man. Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you." And what does Scripture say? That in that moment, Peter reaches out his hand, takes hold of the man, and instantly, that man comes to know the grace and the generosity of Jesus. Here's what's amazing to me about this story. The power that healed that man, that power that healed him, it was Jesus' power. But the hand that Jesus used, it was Peter's. In other words, listen, the power that's going to transform our city, the power that's going to bring hope to that family member, to that neighbor, it's not your power, it's the power of God. But how does he want to move and bring that power into their lives? It's through our hands. It's through reaching out in love. And yes, I'm aware of physical distancing. So I'm not talking about a physical hand right now. I'm talking about a spiritual principle. Friend, we got to focus on what we have, not what we lack. So the same hope that's taken up resident in you, it can come through you to people that you come in contact with. See, what I love about reading in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John, who are examples of what an empowered church look like. And I want to remind us, Life Center, we don't just go to that type of church, we are that type of church. We're living this out right now. And here's why this is so important to me. Listen, moments like this are already in our DNA. In 1918, Life Center was planted 102 years ago. I was reading the newspaper last week, and it brought this to my attention that in 1918, the city of Tacoma was facing another crisis. It was another pandemic, and here's what was happening. Schools were closed. Hospitals were being overrun. There was panic going on. Why? Because there was this epidemic spreading. There was this pandemic spreading known as the Spanish flu. And isn't it interesting that in that same time period, God in his grace would mobilize some followers of Jesus to start gathering together, and that would grow into this place called Life Center. And if God could use a moment like that 102 years ago, I want us to ask the question, God, how do you want to use this moment right now? Because I believe that God wants to empower us, equip us through his Spirit to be the church, to be the church. He's present right now. He's going to comfort you. He's got more than enough to carry you through this moment. Trust him. But understand, he doesn't just want to empower you to hopefully get yourself through Tuesday. He's got enough power that it would overflow through you to the people around you. So be encouraged with that today. Listen, as we prepare to wrap up, two things that I want to pray with you about. And today, listen, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to pray with you with my eyes open. Why? Because there's nobody else watching you. There's nobody else looking around. But today on the other side of that screen, maybe a friend invited you to watch online, or maybe you were just kind of scrolling through your news feed and you saw this service going on and you find yourself in this place saying, man, I need hope. All the things that I thought I would find hope in, they're crumbling around me and I need a hope that is real. I need a hope that will last. Can I tell you the only source of that hope is Jesus? And by putting your trust in him, friends, you not only can receive that hope, you can experience what Scripture says is new life, knowing that your debt is paid, that your sin is forgiven, shame, separation, it's all been dealt with. You have a fresh start with God. So today, if that's your desire right now, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today, our team's going to put up a link and we want to send you a gift. It's a little book called Following Jesus. Why? Because we get excited when people make a decision, but we're passionate and committed to helping you move from that decision to walking every day with Jesus. That's called discipleship. One more thing I want to pray for today. I want to pray that we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So can I encourage you right now where you're at, in that living room? Maybe you're sitting in your car in a parking lot. Maybe you're walking through a park right now. Can I encourage you just to pause, make some space right now? Come on, let's pray together. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, thank you that your Spirit dwells within me. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power for everyday moments. Help me to be aware of it this week. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're going to open my eyes. Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding me what I have. Instead of focusing on what I lack. Holy Spirit, this week, help me to make Jesus known. Come on, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do that this week. Listen, I know that God has us in the palm of his hand. Be confident in that. Be secure in that this week. Thanks so much for joining with us this morning at Life Center. I look forward to seeing you real soon. God bless.